We'll read together the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 20. If you would, follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. On one of the days, while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and scribes with the elders confronted him. And they spoke, saying to him, "Tell us, by what authority you are doing these things? Or, who is the one who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you a question, and you tell me. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" They reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would open this passage to us, that our hearts and minds would be tuned to by your Spirit to your will, that we would hear the voice of Christ. We pray that you'd hide this preacher behind the cross of Calvary. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have over the past few weeks seen this progression into Jerusalem as Jesus comes into the city in a triumphal entry and then leaves the city that evening. He comes in, he looks around, he leaves the city that evening and goes to Bethany. And then he comes back into the city and cleanses the temple, running out the money changers and those buying and selling from the temple. And now we find Jesus teaching in the temple. So this would be, it's not so clear just from Luke here on one of the days, but we can put together some markers, for some time markers from Matthew and from Mark, and guess that this would be a Tuesday, that Jesus had come in the triumphal entry on Sunday, had cleansed the temple on Monday, that this would be a Tuesday. It's one of the days while he was teaching, and this is an indicator to us that Jesus' ministry was one of teaching and preaching the gospel. We should see that Christ's ministry today, done by his ministers, should be teaching and preaching the gospel. This passage is a passage of questions. This whole chapter will be questions, one question after the other. But this question is a question that is not new. We have seen Jesus address this question before. I'm reminded as I come here, this is one of the days when Jesus is teaching with the people, and he's teaching openly. Having cleansed the temple, having run out the money changers, now he sets up in the temple to preach the gospel and teach the people. And this is a day where he is asked a question. It reminds me that when they came to arrest Jesus by night, he said, "Wasn't I teaching in the temple every day? Couldn't you have come to me at any of those times?" This is one of those times. And the question is raised. Who is asking the question? We see here that the chief priests and the scribes with the elders are listed here. And this would have been evident to the original readers. It may not be so evident to us, but these are three distinct groups that together make up what is called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, those rulers, those who were given authority from Rome. Rome had come in, and at this time the people were under Roman rule. But the Romans had learned from the Greeks some smart techniques. As they come in and set up their rule, one of the things that they did, one of the things that they had learned from the Greeks, was to give as much authority, as much as they could, to those who were there, those whose land they were occupying. So the Romans had given the Sanhedrin much authority. They had always had some level of authority, but under Roman rule, they had more authority than ever before and ever again. So these who come are not just random people. These are authorities. These are people who received authority from Rome. We're going to say a lot about authority today. They had received this authority from Rome, and they come together to ask Jesus about his authority. This problem comes that the Sanhedrin, these chief priests and scribes and elders, had a hierarchical structure. They knew of authority, and they knew where they received their authority, and they knew to whom they had delegated or given authority. And now they come to ask Jesus about his authority. Jesus, you didn't go to our schools. You didn't go through our channels. You didn't come through the process that we have established. So you might say it like this: where do you get off? How dare you? What, by what authority they come here? Jesus is seen in this passage, don't miss it, as a great unifier. The chief priests and the scribes with the elders, the Sanhedrin, would have been different groups of men who were the Sanhedrin collectively, but individually they had their sects, their divisions, and they would have not gotten along. They would have even hated one another because of differing opinions, differing beliefs, differing doctrine. But Jesus here is a great unifier, bringing these who would argue to the death with one another, bringing them together for one common cause. And we saw in the last chapter that they were seeking to put him to death. So Jesus is a great unifier here. I thought about what this might look like in our day. Imagine if there was one cause, one person who could bring together in our government Republicans and Democrats and libertarians and socialists. Bring everyone together with one common enemy. Can you imagine that? This unifying effect of Christ is something that those who follow him might see. Jesus promised many things in his word. One of the things that he promised is, they hated me, they will hate you also. Let us, when we endure persecution, remember that we are following Christ. These who ask the question, ask what? By what authority? Tell us by what authority? Now, this was not a new question. The question of Jesus' authority, the point of the message today is going to be this. This is the question. The question of Christ's authority is the question to be asked. And it's a question that has been asked all the way through our study of the Gospel of Luke. It's a question that has come up over and over and over again. I would remind you of Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. You can find that Sermon on the Mount. It's a long text that covers Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. And at the end of Matthew 7, we find Jesus teaching about the wise and foolish builder, the one who builds on the sand and the one who builds on the rock, the wise man building his house on the rock. At the end of this great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had spoken many things, and the crowds, Matthew 7 tells us, were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching. Why? Because he spoke as one with authority. He spoke as one with authority. This question of authority was not new. Authority has been an ongoing theme. And Jesus preached and he taught with authority. And to make matters, as far as the chief priests and scribes and elders were concerned, to make matters worse, the text tells us the people were amazed because he spoke as one with authority, not like the scribes. Wow. He preaches with authority, not like you guys. Now, I will tell you this very quickly. We should understand how it is that Jesus preached and he taught with authority. And I will say this, that I do not preach and teach with this type of authority. I cannot. The problem with the scribes and how they taught, it has been said that they did not so much know the scripture itself as they knew other teachers' opinions of the scripture. And they would follow the other teachers and they would quote other men to make their points. And Jesus comes in the Sermon on the Mount and he says what? You heard it said, but I say. Now I'm going to very quickly tell you this. I do not stand in a pulpit and say, I say. I say, God has said, and many times we say, other men have said. Jesus preached with authority. And this drew a sharp contrast in the people's minds. This is not what we're used to. We're not accustomed to this. You've heard it said, but I say. So he taught with authority. Here we see the people giving an answer about Jesus' authority. Oh, he has authority. The question of authority is a question that can easily be answered by the things that Jesus said and the things that he did. These did not need to come and ask Jesus this question, but they did anyway. They did not look to his works and his words. They came and questioned him. I'm reminded that John the Baptist even had a moment where he questioned, are you the one or should we expect another? And remember what Jesus said to him. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the dead live again. Is that an answer? Yes, it's an answer. It's an answer that he is the Messiah. The people here, they knew, they recognized Christ has authority. If you'll remember back in Luke 5, there was a man who was paralyzed. And this man had friends who carried him to where Jesus was, and they couldn't get through the crowd, so they opened a place in the roof, and this man is let down through the roof. All this trouble gone to bring this man before Jesus because he's paralyzed and he cannot walk, and they let the man down before Jesus. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? Your sins be forgiven you. Not what they expected. whatever happened to get up and walk? Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees who stood by shouted, blasphemy. Who has authority? See, the theme of authority, it's all over. Who has authority to forgive sin except God himself and God alone? You know, they were right in that. Who has the authority to forgive sin? God alone. And what did Jesus say? What is easier, to say your sins be forgiven you or to say arise, take up your bed and walk? But so that, here's the purpose, so that you will know that the Son of Man has authority in heaven and on earth, so that you will know, rise, take up your bed and walk. It's not just a miracle of a paralyzed man walking. It's evidence of who he is and by what authority he does these things. That's the question. By what authority do you do these things? What things? It could certainly be all the things of Christ's ministry. It could certainly be all the things that Jesus had done. He had healed the sick. He had calmed storms. He had raised the dead. He had done so many miracles. By what authority, Jesus? Well, he's already answered that question. He's already made that evidence. When Jesus calmed the storm, calmed the sea, he evidences that he has authority over nature, over creation. When Jesus healed disease, when he made the cripple walk, when he healed the withered hands, he gives evidence that he has authority over the human body. And that you would know that he had authority to forgive sin, he gives evidence in that as well. That he gives evidence that he has authority over death. When he raises the widow's son, when he says, Lazarus, come forth, he gives evidence that he has authority. And they knew the answer. Remember John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes in John 3 to Jesus, he comes by night. And what does he say to Jesus? We know that you have come from God. Who else could do these things? They knew the answer. But they asked the question, by what authority? And I would like to point out here too, that it's not the things that Jesus did. Well, it's not all the things that he did. But if someone had come healing, raising the dead, calming the storm, feeding 5,000 at one time and 4,000 at another time, there would be no complaint. Just don't mess with our authority. We have a thing set up here. And if you come in and you have, you know, there can't be two authorities. There's just one. There's one authority. It's by what power and authority. Someone defined authority as the right to use power. They didn't have a problem with him displaying power. But by what right do you display power? By what authority? Now, if you'll remember this past Wednesday night, we talked about the name of God, the name of Jesus. That's another way that it is stated. In Acts chapter 4 and 5, we see, by what name are you preaching and teaching? And that name is not just the letters that make up how he is called, but the name of God, the name of Christ, is all who he is. It is his power. It is his authority. And here the problem is, by whose name? He didn't come from the school of Gamaliel. He wasn't under a high priest. He wasn't under any of the scribes. He comes with a different authority. They ask the question, by what authority do you do these things? Who is it who gave you this authority? That second part of the question, who is it that gave you that authority? That's like, it should have been one of us. It should have been one of us to give you this right to display power. Who gave you the authority to do these things? It could have been all the things of Jesus' ministry. It could have been the teaching. I mean, this is one of the days while he was teaching in the temple. And it could be, by what authority do you teach these things? By what authority do you preach this gospel that you preach? It could have been those things that they referred to. He's been preaching and teaching. By what authority do you say the things that you say? And while I believe it could be elements of his entire ministry, it could be elements of his teaching and preaching just over these few days, I think it was most certainly the cleansing of the temple that happened a day before. He's come in and he has really messed with their thing. He's messed with their authority. He took their quote unquote authority and turned it on its head. My house is a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of thieves. He showed that their authority was not a valid authority. Certainly, this would be the catalyst that brings them to the point of wanting to put Jesus to death. And now they come, and it says they confront him. This is confronted. This is my New American Standard. They come and confronted Jesus. The word here gives us the idea that they stood up. They stood up against him. And some believe that this may have been on one of the days while he was teaching. They stood up and confronted him. It's a certain confrontation, no matter what the specifics were, to interrupt Jesus while he's teaching. Wow. By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask you a question. Now, it's often that we see Jesus, when asked a question, answer in a way that requires a little effort. I talked about just a few minutes ago when John the Baptist asked, are you the one or should we expect another? Jesus didn't say, I'm the one. Don't expect another. I mean, he didn't give that direct an answer. And this would be considered a teaching tool. Maybe parents or teachers, you have done this with students. Parents, maybe you've done this with your children. When they come and ask a question, you give them a little something to do. I need you to make a little effort. There needs to be a little work involved. There needs to be a little sweat in the answer. This would be a common thing that would be done by teachers, by rabbis in this day, when asked a question, to answer another question, to answer with a question. And Jesus does this. And I would like to point out here, this is not avoiding the question, evading the question. This is not answering the question. There's an answer here. Do you want to know the answer? Do you want to get to the answer? And what Jesus does is he takes what was going to be a trap for them. He's there. He's with the people. This crowd, remember, there is a fevered energy in this crowd. If we can get him in just the right spot, we could probably get him stoned today. Let's go ask him just the right questions, and we can get the people to recognize that he is a blasphemer, and we'll get him stoned today. That's what they had become accustomed to doing when they couldn't get their will accomplished through legal means. They could incite the people to stone. We can work these people up. And Jesus takes what would be a trap set for him and immediately turns it around. Let me answer your question with a question. I will ask you a question and you tell me, Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? We should point out here very quickly that there's only two options. There are only two options here. And the answer to this question is the answer to their question. And there's only two options. Is this from heaven or is this from men? Remember, John the Baptist had baptized. We think of baptism. I mean, we're Baptists, right? We think of baptism and we may think that baptism is a New Testament thing. And in many ways, baptism, New Testament baptism, is a new thing. But dunking someone in water as a religious rite was not new. This is the means by which a Gentile might become a Jew. This is the means by which they would receive proselytes into their religion through baptism. So this was an Old Testament practice, baptism. But baptism was to bring people into the religion who were not, who were unbelievers, who were outsiders, who were outcasts far from God. John the Baptist comes, and he doesn't come to the Gentiles. He comes to the Jews, and he says, you need a baptism of repentance. You do. Wait a minute. Abraham is my father. You need a baptism of repentance. But I go to the temple regularly. You, Jews, need a baptism. You need to see yourself as an outsider, as one far away from God, needing through repentance to be brought near. And many, many were baptized under John's baptism of repentance. But the scripture is very clear that though the Pharisees, though the elders and the scribes, though they went out to see and to hear John, they did not submit to his baptism. They said in their pride, I don't need this. But the people believed John to be a prophet. It doesn't say here, was the preaching of John, it's all about the baptism. Now certainly this encompassed John's ministry, but particularly, specifically, this baptism of repentance. Is that from heaven? Do Jews really need to be brought near? Or are you already near? Is that idea, is this thing something that John made up? Or is this from heaven? This is the question. John's testimony had been clear. John was the one we find in the New Testament, besides Jesus Christ, who was prophesied about. The voice of one calling, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And he was prophesied about, and he came preaching and teaching, preparing the way. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm not fit to unlatch his shoes. That's who he is. I need to decrease and he needs to increase. That's who he is. The testimony of John about Christ and Christ Jesus' authority was clear. Is this baptism of John from heaven or from men, and they deliberate. They reason among themselves. You can kind of see. We'll be right back. We need to have a little powwow. We need to talk about this. And someone says, let's just say that it was from heaven. Let's just say that. That's the easy answer. Let's just say that. And someone else says, no. If we say it was from heaven, John baptized with a baptism of repentance that we did not submit to. And John declared this man to be the Messiah. And we don't submit to that either. And if we say he's from heaven, then the question will be, why don't you believe? Why don't you believe in Jesus? Because if John came from heaven and he testifies of Jesus, where's the breakdown here? We can't say heaven. Maybe someone else said, well, then let's just say it's from men. John just came. He had some ideas of his own, and he just did his own thing. No, wait a minute. Remember the fevered, emotional crowd that we're dealing with? They think John's a prophet. They'll stone us. Here's what we'll do. We'll lie. That's what it is. I mean, it says here, they reason among themselves. And then it says, verse 7, so they answered. They lied. Remember John 3? We know that you are one sent from God. We know. How else could someone do the things that you do? We know. And they answered, we don't know. They know, and they say, we don't know. An answer that would be consistent with their rejection of John's baptism and their rejection of Christ would be, John's baptism is from men. An answer that would be consistent with what Nicodemus had revealed that they already knew would be, John's baptism is from heaven. Neither of those answers was going to work for them. So they just said, we don't know. They lie. So what we have here is the question of Jesus' authority. By what authority do you do the things that you do? By whose name, in whose name are you operating? The people had answered, He teaches and preaches as one with authority. John had answered, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He must increase, I must decrease. Jesus had answered time and time again in the things that he said and in the things that he did that evidenced his authority. He did not argue it. When they said, who besides God alone can forgive sin? He didn't argue with that because that's a true statement. He did say, now let me show you that I have authority to forgive sin. Jesus had answered their question. And here, he answers it again. The answer to the question of John's baptism is the answer to the source. It's one source. The source is one source. It's the same. So we have the people's answer. We have John the Baptist's answer. We have Jesus' answer for himself throughout the New Testament. As we continue to look at the Acts of the Church and the epistles, we see the same question being asked about authority. And we see the apostles' answer. But we come here to 2019. Is this a question that has been answered now? Well, it's a question that's still being asked. Jesus, by what authority? It's no longer being asked of Jesus. It's being asked of every one of us. You know about Jesus. What's the authority? By what power? By what name? The people answered. John answered. Jesus himself answered. The apostles answered. Have you answered? I mean, you have to answer this question. He came and he did these things. By what authority? From heaven? Or from men? It seems almost ridiculous to offer the option that what Jesus did was from men. Because anybody with a little bit of sense would know men can't do that. That men can't do those things. Jesus' evidence that his authority was from heaven was clear and is clear. But sometimes, just like the chief priests and the scribes and the elders lie, men still lie. Men still lie. Men still say, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. Sometimes men lie so well, they lie to themselves and they say, you don't want to know the answers because there's going to be consequences. Just this week, a friend of mine said, there's consequences to belief. What you believe has consequences. And sometimes we say to ourselves, you don't want to know. If you acknowledge that Jesus' authority is from heaven, if you acknowledge Jesus is who he says he is, then you got some answers that you're going to have to give. Sometimes we lie to ourselves and we say, well, I don't know. Sometimes we lie to ourselves and we say, I think he was a good man. I think he was a good teacher. He did a lot of good things. But listen, if he lied about being God, if he lied about having the authority to forgive sin, he was not a good man. He was a blasphemer. That's really the options. Is Jesus' authority from men and he is a blasphemer? Or is Jesus' authority from heaven, from God, and he is the Messiah? And he is the Savior. And he is King of all kings and Lord of all. That's the question you have to answer. It seemed convenient in this moment for these men to lie. To lie to themselves, to lie to Jesus, to lie to the crowds and say, we don't know. Seemed convenient. They walked away from this meeting. They didn't have to face a crowd for stoning. They didn't have to answer difficult questions. Then why don't you believe? It seemed convenient and it seemed easy. But today, for them, it's not easy. If those men remained in their stubborn pride, then those men today are in hell. So for you, it seems easy because we're going to be done here in a minute. We're going to be done. We can go eat some food. And we can get out of here. And you can keep saying, I don't know. I don't know what I think about Jesus. That seems convenient for this moment. But you don't know that you have another moment. You don't know that you have another breath. By the testimony of Scripture, God is calling for you to repent of your sin and to believe in Jesus. That's the question. That's the question that Jesus asked Peter when he said, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" What's he asking? It's the question of authority. It's the same question. Who do you say that I am? Here, Jesus is asked this question by these men seeking to trick him, seeking to trap him. But he turns their trap around on them. But it's the same question that is posed to you. Who is Jesus? What is the source of his authority? Friend, don't be a blasphemer and say that Jesus Christ is not God of very God and the Savior of all who will believe on him. Run to Christ in repentance and faith today. Jesus, I pray that you would save. I pray that you would make the salvation of your people sure and firm and pray that you would draw our loved ones to Christ. God, I recognize that I ran from you so hard, and you reached down and saved me in my sin, in my depravity, in my pride. Pray that you would do the same for our sons, for our daughters, for our loved ones, for our friends. God, I pray that you would, in this very room, convict of sin and of righteousness and of coming judgment through your word by your Holy Spirit. Amen.